You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
What is up, y'all? Welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Took the flight in from Omaha early this morning, and thank goodness it's Friday. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. 855-242-PAUL is the number. You can also hit me up on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN. We were just talking about Omaha. I've spent a fantastic week doing our coverage over there for SEC Network, where it kind of felt like it was the SEC baseball tournament. And this young man, Dylan DeLucia, threw an absolute gem, not once but twice, through a shutout to lead Ole Miss past Arkansas, and yes, for the first time in program history, playing in the College World Series Finals. And Rebel fans have been showing up. They have been ready for this. They're also going to be facing a team that's going to be joining the SEC in a couple of years. That is Oklahoma, of course. Ole Miss seeking its first men's College World Series final, and it's one of those 3-4 seeds. Only five of them have ever reached the College World Series final since 1999. All right, so we get an opportunity to go to these games, and we saw a lot of Auburn fans, A&M fans, Arkansas fans, but Ole Miss fans were incredible, and they were fired up, but maybe none more than this guy right now, the athletic director, Keith Carter, joining us. Keith, have you moved from your spot in the suite that I saw you? Because you were kind of superstitious during some of those runs that the Rebels had.
Yeah, Peter, the suite we were in the day that I saw you was actually the one game that we lost. So not only do I not need to be back in there, I'm not sure you're invited back in there. But we went back to the suite on the other side of home plate for the win yesterday. But, yes, we have a lot of superstitions. Our clothes are going to be worn again tomorrow, all those things. But it's been a lot of fun for sure.
Keith, I kind of think you're joking, but after watching some baseball with you, and it was no different too, Lane Kiffin and Chris Molloy, of course, the golf coach out there, Chris tried to get up at one point and Lane like just grabbed him and said, "You're not going anywhere." And that was during a big rally. So you're all locked in on it. Walk me through it, what it's like from your position to see this run and what goes on with making it to the finals.
Well, you know, I think obviously, you know, getting to Omaha was the first challenge. You know, we got here, and certainly that is a big step and something that, you know, is a feather in the cap. But once you get here and you look around, you're like, hey, let's try to win this thing. And so, you know, got off to a great start going 2-0, and then Arkansas kind of punched us in the mouth, and we came back and were able to get them last night. But just really good teams up here. And, you know, I think once you get up here, it's about luck. It's about the timely hit. It's about all those things that happen in baseball. But I really like our team. You know, we got a bunch of senior leadership guys like Tim Elko and Kevin Graham and Justin Bench, and obviously Coach Bianco. You know, 22 years here at Ole Miss, and no one more deserving than him to be here and have a chance to win a national title.
It was awesome. We talked to him, you know, even before the tournament started in Omaha, and you could tell there was a little, not chip on the shoulder, but he was excited for this team and excited the way that they got there. And there were a lot of people talking 7-14, hey, what's the future like? How do you kind of hold everybody at bay and go, let's have a season and then have this unbelievable run?
Yeah, you know, you start the season so well. We get the number one in the country. You have Tennessee coming in, and they kind of got us, you know, in that three-game series. And then it wasn't real good for the next month. You know, we didn't play real well, didn't hit it well, didn't pitch it well. And, you know, you kind of have to find yourself. But I knew our team had the talent. I knew our coaching staff had the experience to get those guys ready. And I knew that if we ever started playing well, that we had a chance against anybody. You know, and we started playing well, you know, about the third series left in the SEC, started getting hot, had a big win at Southern Miss in the regular season when they were ranked 12 or 13 in the country. You know, and then obviously made a great run through the playoffs and all the way to the World Series. But you know, we knew this team had the talent. We knew they had the makeup to get here and not only get here but win it. And now we're very fortunate to get that opportunity.
And finally got healthy, right? You know, Kevin Graham misses all that time, and all of a sudden he gets back in. Calvin Harris as well with the oblique. And then he starts raking. It's been quite a run. All right, so for you guys, it's not as simple as, hey, there's 20,000 tickets available. Walk me through the process of what it's like when your team qualifies from an AD standpoint to, hey, getting your fans out there. What goes on with that?
Well, it started by me making a statement to our radio folks that if you're an Ole Miss fan, just come to Omaha and we'll find a way to get you in the game. And a lot of our folks have taken that very literally. We spent a lot of time last night working on tickets, flights, hotels, you know, all of those things, and been doing the same this morning. But that's a great problem to have. You know, those things normally work themselves out, and once folks get to Omaha, they usually find a way in. So, you know, we want as many people as here as possible. You know, last year when Mississippi State, you know, made it to the finals, you know, they basically took this place over, and I have a feeling that Ole Miss fans are going to do just the same.
Yeah, Keith, it was incredible. We stayed at the hotel for Mississippi State last year, and you're right. I mean, it was just chaos every single night, and it has kind of been that way to see Hottie Totty fans making it up from Oxford. With that being said, too, I was with David DeLucci last night, and the amount of calls and emails and texts he gets about, like, hey, man, I haven't seen you in a couple years. Can you get me some tickets? What's that like for you? I mean, do you have people just coming out of the woodwork going, hey, just give me four on the first base side?
Yeah, they want them right behind home plate, you know. and so, no, it's been good. Actually, David sent me a text this morning jokingly asking about tickets, and he said, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's a good problem, like I said, Peter. You know, we want people coming. We want to do everything we can to get them in the stadium and let them enjoy this run. So, I'll say it again. If people have a chance to come up, you know, we'll do our best to help you find a way into the game. And I think it's going to be so much fun.
Keith, I saw some of the kiddos there this week enjoying it. Take your job out of the equation. What's this like being a dad, having your kids and your family around, you know, such a good run?
Well, it's awesome. And I'm actually sitting here in the dugout right now watching Ole Miss take BP. And my 8-year-old's out in left center trying to catch fly balls. I'm hoping he doesn't take one to the chin. But it's been so fun, you know, just to see the family. You know, they're a major part of this too. They go through the ups and downs, the same ones that I do, the same ones that the team does. And, you know, for them to get to enjoy some of this has been really, really cool. So hopefully we can finish it off by taking that trophy home.
So with that being said, I'm only a couple more minutes here with you. How do you talk to the team at any point? Do you talk to Mike? Are you hands off? What's your approach there?
Well, you know, I not anything about strategy or anything like that. Certainly encouragement. You know, I think these guys, again, with so much senior leadership on the team, they know what they have to do. And obviously Mike's been around the game for so long that, you know, he understands all of that. But I just want to be an encourager. I want to walk into the clubhouse after the game, you know, after a win and be encouraging. After a loss, you know, a couple nights ago, you know, be encouraging to, you know, get those guys back up and ready to play. But it's been fun. And you know, all of our student athletes are really, really special, but you know, this is a really special group that's been through a lot, and you know, really wish them nothing but the best here in the next few days.
Keith, it was fun watching the games with you, and fun watching Ole Miss fans go crazy there in Omaha, and hopefully they got two more wins left in them. We appreciate the time, and watch out for the 8-year-old out in left field. All right.
No doubt. Thank you, Peter.
There it is. Keith Carter, Ole Miss athletic director. No lie, we were sitting there at one of the games, and I'm sitting there. And I look at, you know, with Keith, and I tried to get up, and everybody looks at me like I had just kicked, the neighbor's dog or something like that. They're like, sit down right now, because they had to make sure that we were all in the same spot. And to see Lane Kiffin literally grab Chris Malloy, the Ole Miss golf coach, and he's like, you're not going anywhere right now. Lane was all in on it. We'll talk about it, talk about what we saw over in Omaha. We got some news. Bill Clark stepping down from UAB, what that means, NBA draft. Dave Aranda is going to be joining us, a whole lot more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in for Paul. And how about Jabari Smith? Some people thought he'd be the overall number one pick of the draft. I think he's still doing okay. He's going to be an H-down, the third overall pick. And take a look at the rest of the SEC selections. Shaedon Sharpe, who never actually played a game for Coach Cal there in Lexington, goes all the way to 7 with the Portland Trail Blazers. Tari Eason, part of Will Wade's squad there at LSU, 17 to the Rockets. Ty Washington went drafted by the Rockets, ends up being with the Grizzlies, if I'm not mistaken, and Walker Kessler coming in, the Auburn great over at 22. So overall, I thought a pretty good day in a hall, because we talk so much about what works for the SEC as far as football. Everybody wants to come here and play in the best conference in college football because so many guys get drafted and they go on to play on the next level. Same thing right now when it comes to baseball, right? We see that, the best and the best. We saw 4 of 8 teams in Omaha. That's how the SEC makes the huge jump, is to put guys that go and commit into this conference into the NBA draft. So to have, 5 guys in the first round, I got to think it's only going to get better, especially with name, image, and likeness coming around to those programs. All right, not the only headline that we had going on, especially those here that big-time Paul Feinbaum listeners know this news. Bill Clark retiring as the UAB head football coach. Now, he had talked about back issues and his health concerns, says, quote, "It's time." Knowing that doesn't make it any easier. Retiring as a UAB head football coach is the hardest decision I've ever had to make, but my future health and well-being depend on it. I've reached this difficult decision after consultation with a number of world-class medical experts and much family discussion, reflection, and prayer. Went on to say, because of long-standing back issues that grew more and more debilitating the last year, I've been told I need a spinal fusion. Having undergone a previous back surgery, extensive physical therapy, shots, and chiropractic therapy, I have exhausted all of my options. Due to the extreme physical demands placed on a head coach, it is clear to me it is time to pass the torch and try and get well. You know, we talk about, you know, all of these stories, and you guys get fired up about name, image, and likeness and pay for play and all these crazy things about college football. And you say, a lot of people say, including myself, that it's no longer the game we know. Bill Clark was everything that we wanted about the college football that we loved, right? Think about where this program was at, and think about, you know, where he got it to, and then all of a sudden they decide they're going to disband the program. Instead of him saying, I'm going to go somewhere else, what did he do? He fought for that program, he fought for that stadium, and he delivered 2 Conference USA championships, a beautiful ballpark that they're using right now, just steps away from the SEC offices. So, listen, I know the College Football Hall of Fame has, I think, a 10-year wait period, or you have to at least have coached 10 years to be considered as a College Football Hall of Fame coach. Get rid of that right now. I'm telling you, what Bill Clark has done for college football needs to be done just in all of college athletics. A guy that believed in his people, a guy that believed in his city and his program, and he absolutely delivered. Bill Clark, thank you for everything you've done to this sport. And, of course, the Prattville legend, when he was a head coach there, I know a lot of Alabama fans have a big thumbs up for him as well. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. We also have a couple of guests that are going to be joining us. Dave Aranda coming up just in about another hour. I guess I've been told that he has a book club. Charlie, our great director, says the Dave Aranda Book Club is pretty interesting. We'll get into that with him. Also, some football. And Jonathan Givony is going to join us a little bit later, too, from ESPN over at the start of the second hour, to discuss a little bit of what went down in the NBA draft. Your phone calls always accepted, too. 855-242-PAUL is the number. Let's go to Athens, home of the NCAA college football champs, Georgia Bulldogs. Jason is in Athens. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good, bud.
Good to hear you. Hey, so I was just curious, you know, obviously you just mentioned we came off the national championship year, but I think it's kind of overlooked that we haven't won an SEC championship and a national championship in the same year. And so you think it's kind of in the back of their mind, and you think that's something that Kirby Smart needs to achieve to get to that Nick Saban level we always compare him to?
Jason, that's an interesting question. I personally, as you ask it, I don't think so. I mean, and listen, every single coach knows how important it is to win the SEC championship, how it's become such a valued championship game for a while. But I think for Kirby, it's about one thing. It's about winning a title. And again, if you told me, Kirby, you'll have three titles but no SEC championships, he would probably be fine with that. And Jason, I would imagine you would be as well, too. I mean, you know, Kirby's putting himself in that echelon where Nick is at right now. But it's going to be very important to do what Nick Saban has done over the years, which is don't miss, right? LSU won it in 2019. We're expecting, all right, Ed Orgeron building the next Alabama. He's not coaching it at LSU any longer. So for Kirby, it's a matter of can he just wash, rinse, repeat by losing all those guys to the draft? But let me ask you this real quick, Jason. Would you care? Do you care that he doesn't have an SEC championship? Does he need that one in your mind?
I just think it'd be that much sweeter having an LSU-type season. I want them to have a longer term than Ed Orgeron, of course. But, you know, that 2017 SEC title was sweet, and the championship that we lost would have been the cherry on top. And I think having an undefeated season like that with no questions, like, oh, they couldn't get over the Alabama hump. Yeah, they beat them the second time around. Still have them in the L column. I think that it would be that next step. He's already achieved greatness, and I think you always want to shoot for something more, and that would be the next step, don't you think?
Jason, I mean, listen, I love it, right? I mean, think about where phone calls are coming from Georgia last year, right, at this time. It was all about, hey, man, are we ever going to break through, okay? And now you get phone calls here on the Feinbaum Show going, not only do I want to just break through, let's go ahead and check all the other boxes that we haven't had to check. And I think Kirby's of that same mentality, but at the end of the day, it's the titles that they're ready to roll with. All right, we asked this question on Twitter. Hit me up at Peter Burns ESPN or at Feinbaum. Biggest underdog story in college sports history. And it can be SEC, it could be, you know, bigger picture of any college athletics. And the reason why I brought that up today is because of what Ole Miss baseball is doing, right? 7-14 at one point in SEC play, and now they're two wins away from winning it all in Omaha. It's incredible. So hit us up with those. 855-242-PAUL is the number. You can hit us up on Twitter. We'll get your best responses coming up here in just a couple of moments on that as well. Let's get one more phone call in here. Jerry is in Louisiana. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing good. What part of Louisiana are you from there, Jerry?
Southwest, like closer to Lake Charles.
Okay.
Bro Bridge area?
The reason why I'm calling. Talking Bro Bridge area, southwest, or even farther southwest than that?
No. Lake Charles, like, you know where Lake Charles is, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we about 50 miles north of Lake Charles.
Okay, all right.
Around the casinos around Kinder and all that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you ever.
Yeah, I listen. Okay, I've been in that the gas and oil industry before I got into media, so I was always down on that that neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's no rain over here. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I wanted to ask you, Peter, if you think LSU can win 8 games this coming season?
Jerry, I absolutely think they have enough talent to do it. We take a look at what they have, and I would argue that the whole season can be 9, maybe even 10 wins, but it's all predicated on September the 4th against, you know, against a Seminole team I don't think is great because, you know, it's Brian Kelly. LSU fans are waiting to see what they're going to get from Brian Kelly, and you lose that game in a place that you normally have great memories in, right? In the Superdome, things start feeling a little bit different. But, I was shocked when, I guess, the odds maker said at the beginning of the year that it was going to be like 6.5 or 7 wins. That seemed extremely low for me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, after Tennessee, well, really after New Mexico, we got Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas. You know what I'm saying?
I think we got
a tough schedule.
Jerry, you do, but I think it's a lot of coin flip games because I think that there's a lot of talent there on that roster. Now, the issue is how quickly can all of these transfers come in and make a difference? This is why you hired Brian Kelly, is you hired him to win those coin flip games. Normally, LSU had probably more talent than a lot of those teams, But I'm not sure if that's the case with the amount of attrition they've had with scholarships and players transferring out because of the unrest over the last 2 years in Baton Rouge. So that's why I still believe there that that game, September the 4th against Florida State, might be the second biggest game outside the national championship that they've had in Baton Rouge, or at least for that program, in 7-8 years.
And well, this is the first time I can remember, and I'm 68 years old, that LSU got four good quarterbacks. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know LSU. You like LSU. And what I'm saying is we never had – it was always besides Burrow, we've always struggled for our quarterback. And there's two things I want to ask you. I'm sick and tired of A&M. I'm so glad we beat them last year. They never talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And when Paul Feinbaum retires, I hope you get the job.
Jerry, that's very kind of you. I appreciate it. Paul Feinbaum's going to be working to 130. He's that good. So thank you, my friend. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Okay, Peter. It's nice talking to you, man.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, Jerry. Very kind of Jerry to say. I will say this, though. This A&M has just stirred the pot, right? Between what Jimbo has done with Nick Saban, between the last couple of years between LSU and A&M, like, you know, it was going to take a moment after the Johnny Manziel days to kind of get back into that national conversation. Buddy, they are there right now, and I'm loving every single moment of it. And you know who else loves it? Kirby Smart. Think about this. Everyone's talked about Nick. Everyone's talked about Brian Kelly and Josh Heupel and all these other storylines, Lane Kiffin and Leach coming back. Nobody's talked about the national championship team. The Georgia Bulldogs. I think Kirby likes that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back to a Friday edition of the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. We had a great interview earlier with Keith Carter, the athletic director over at Ole Miss, who's in Omaha. He said, listen, if you're a Rebel fan or you just want to see some great baseball, find a way to Omaha. We'll find a way to get you into and get a ticket. So they are fired up as they'll get ready. They have an off day today. Then they'll face Oklahoma. Best 2 out of 3. First of 2 wins. Wins it all. Of course, the Rebels looking for their first College World Series title. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's go to Willie in Alabama. What's up, Willie? Willie, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, Peter Byrd.
What's up, man?
Hey, October 8th, you reckon Texas A&M going to ask Jimbo Fisher for all that recruiting money back?
Jimbo has stirred the pot to a certain extent. I would put it that way, but I think he's only stirred it because Nick Saban stirred it up, right? Right, really?
Hey, is what it is, baby. But A&M going to have to have that money back. It's going to be a bowl of them come October 8th.
Willie, what I love about it, and thank you for the phone call, what I love about this right now is we got Alabama fans that are fired up because of A&M. The fact that Alabama fans aren't as fired up about Georgia is just fascinating to me, right? Georgia came in there, beat you for a natty. They go head-to-head as far as recruiting-wise on the same guys. And yet the amount of phone calls that we get now talking about Jimbo Fisher and A&M and not Georgia is always shocking to me. Sim is in South Carolina. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. What's up, man? Sim, you there? Going once, going twice. We will put you back on hold. Cheerleader, welcome into the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, Peter, you sure are dripping in that three-quarter zip.
Hey.
Man, it looks good.
Thank you.
That looks good.
You know.
I love those shirts. I love those pullovers. Listen, two things. The interview that Paul had with Donna, the women's sports AD,
mm-hmm.
at, where was she? What college was that?
Well, I didn't see it yesterday as I was over in Omaha.
She was the first. Yeah, she was the first lady AD at this college, and she was just talking about the Title IX and the 50th year and whatnot. Mm. And Paul put out a tweet. You know, how did Title IX affect you personally? And when I was in high school, there was not Title IX, and I went to a real small school in a small county in Northwest Florida, and the girls had the choice of cheerleading, band, choir, and you know, that was it.
Right.
And so we couldn't do anything. I think we played a little softball during PE and maybe a little volleyball, and I never could do any of it, but I was cheerleader, and that was good. But Title IX has come so far. It has made women step up to the plate more. It has made them more confident. They've got great skills. I think it's just making them better people all the way around.
You know, cheerleader.
And then the next thing.
Real quick, I want to talk about that because, you know, I have a daughter now. My daughter is 4.5, and I feel like there's an unbelievable amount of opportunities for her to play. Like, you know, we watch softball together, and I'm like, this is the best of the best.
Yeah.
You know, being able to watch that, and it's fantastic. Yeah. Or volleyball, or I cover women's golf, and I think it's fantastic here.
Yeah.
And you know, there's been so much made about name, image, and likeness, and then, you know, there's politicians that don't really understand it with boots on the ground that come in and say, well, we want you to make all the student-athletes employees. And when I hear that, I cringe a little bit, cheerleader, because I think, all right, well, if you're going to make student-athletes employees, my knowledge of that is that all of a sudden, if you're going to run your athletic department like a business with employees – there are certain divisions that don't make money for your quote-unquote business. These are a lot of women's golf and a lot of Olympic sports. Women's golf, are you talking about tennis, other sports that are there that Title IX has definitely helped. I mean, think about those great stories, and I'm wondering if all of a sudden you classify student-athletes as employees, how many athletic departments across the country are going to go, well, if we're going to do that, then I'm only going to have quote-unquote employees for the revenue sports, and I'm going to just wipe out any of the other sports that are loss leaders for us.
That don't produce, and that will include some men's sports, too. I don't know if rowing creates any income or not, but I have three granddaughters. My son that was a big golfer has two girls, and both of them have golf clubs. He takes them out. He takes the oldest one, who's 5.5, out to the club. They play the par 3. You know, he's teaching her, and she got a par on a hole last year, and I just thought that was great. And just to see her have her little clubs and the way they carry them, and you know, they're proud to be on a team. And then the all the other little girls, she's played soccer. They've done gymnastics. You know, I don't see them ever in the football field, not anything. I don't see them in mine in softball, but they very well could be. But it's really enhanced. It's enhanced everything. And I can remember my brother when they said Title IX was coming about. All he could say was, "There goes football."
Mm-hmm. I think it's worked out all right since then, huh?
It's worked. Will you let me say one more thing? You mentioned Bill Clark.
Yes,
that man, I do not know him, but I know what he's done in Birmingham. I know how he held UAB together. I know how everybody was down on UAB. I mean, they went away. They came back. I don't know if you've been to the Protective Stadium or not. I have been by it. They had, of course, they had the football games there, the USL, and they had a Garth Brooks concert there. It was phenomenal. Garth Brooks said this is one of the best venues I've ever been to. And it's right near the Sports Hall of Fame. It's near the Sheridan. And it's going to be a big deal. Bill Clark's responsible. He's responsible. And he is a man to step down when he knows that he can't coach because of an injury that he doesn't know how it's going to leave him. He is a very honest and very dignified and giving person. And that's kind of and that's the kind of coaches I'm crazy about. Thanks for taking my call.
Cheerleader, thank you so much, and very eloquently put there about the great Bill Clark. And again, I know that you're supposed to have 10 years of quote-unquote service as a college football coach to be in the College Football Hall of Fame. When we go there in Atlanta for SEC Media Days, I'm going to raise like heavenly hell to be like, what do we do to be able to make sure that Bill Clark gets that love that he needs and hopefully the support that he gets 100% healthy? Let's take one more call in here. Corey is in Alabama. Thanks for joining Peter Burns in on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Corey?
Hey, Peter. How are you?
Doing great, sir.
I'm a diehard UAB fan, and Bill Clark is one of, in my opinion, probably going to go down as one of the greatest head football coach in UAB history. What he has done at UAB is absolutely phenomenal, and as a diehard UAB fan, I'm floored by what he has done, and you know, to see him retire, you know, it kind of shocked me. I was shocked, and I guarantee you this year's football team is going to be dedicated to him. And I've already bought my season tickets. I am prepared to see what this team can bring. But that football team is going to dedicate this season, upcoming season, to him. And you know, even though he won't be out there on the sidelines, you know, the players are going to be playing for him. And this is going to be a really emotional football season for UAB. And so I'm extremely excited to see what this football team can bring to the field this coming season. So my thoughts and prayers go out to him and his family. And, you know, we wish him the best of luck the rest of the way. Thank you for taking my call.
Corey, well put about Bill Clark. Now, it's going to be the offensive coordinator, Brian Vincent, who's going to be taking over as the interim coach. There is some hope that, hey, listen, that staff remains permanent. All I know is that with Bill Clark, you know, he could be selfish and say, no, this is my job and I make a bunch of money. I hope UAB returns the favor of what he's brought to not only UAB, but this is the city of Birmingham and the sport of college football, and say, Bill, we want a lot of your input on who's going to be the next person to run that program, because it's a darn good program. And by the way, because of his work, not only is the stadium there, it's also going to be, the Blazers are going to be in the American Athletic Conference, which is a huge jump for them. Monster tip of the cap to Bill Clark. All right, 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. You can hit me up on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. More of your calls and tweets when we return here on the Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ole Miss baseball was what, 7-14 at one point, and they've gone into this massive run. Two wins away from winning it all. So we asked this question on Feinbaum today. Biggest underdog story in college sports history. There's one that I didn't even think about that Jamari came up with. That's a no-brainer, and I haven't seen a single person talk about it yet. We'll see. I don't want to spoil it. We'll see if anybody comes up with it, but it could be the ultimate winner. Trey is in Arkansas. You got one for me as far as these underdog stories like Ole Miss baseball is having right now?
Yep. Brandon Burlsworth from Arkansas.
One of the greatest stories, and of course had the movie, and you know, he came in, I want to say that movie came out, maybe 3-4 years ago? Of his story, and I remember him coming in and just talking about, you know, in family members talking about it. It was something special. What stood out to you about the story?
That he didn't get his scholarship, and he wanted to prove to everybody that he can do it, and he did.
And Trey, I think that's, and not only did he do it, he did it on such a high level as well, too, right? I mean, we talk about, you know, I mean, Baker Mayfield, kind of a similar deal where, you know, Baker, you know, didn't have scholarships coming up and then all of a sudden goes out and ends up winning a Heisman. But Burlsworth to be able to do it and to kind of believe in himself as well, right? I mean, like, everybody gets caught up in the five stars and the name, image, and likeness and deals. And I'm like, if you understand it, that is such a small percentage of college athletics. You know, those things, those headlines that we read, there are so many more Burlsworth. There's so many guys that are two-star guys that are great athletes that we get an opportunity to watch. And guess what? The rules aren't really going to change. We're still going to have them. So for all that believe that college athletics are on its deathbed, chill for just a little bit longer. All right, let's go. Josh is in Louisiana. Thanks for joining Peter Burns here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. What's up, Josh?
Hey, Peter, first of all, I'd like to say I'm in Alabama now. I'm from Louisiana originally. I'm actually traveling back to Alabama now, but I wanted to give you dibs on what a great job you do, first of all, filling in and on the SEC network altogether. But the reason I called, I really hadn't heard anybody talk much about Brian Kelly coming into LSU, and I know, I know the cliche about how he's got to rebuild and this and that and the other and different things. I know he's done very well in the transfer portal, different things like that. I also know that he's actually signed a few good players, but you know, I think what LSU needed more than anything is a disciplinarian, you know, and a guy that can really, you know, I just go back to hard-nosed ball, and I know that Brian has always run a clean program wherever he's going. I just kind of like your input as an LSU fan, and also, you know, how long you think it might take him to flip the script, if, you know, back the way they used to be. I know there's still a lot of talent in state and in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, Josh, thank you for the kind words, and thank you for teeing me up on that. I'm glad you called, because you're right. I mean, you know, we've talked so much about Jimbo and Nick and all these other ancillary storylines, but the fact that one of the best coaches in all of college sports right now in college football went to one of the marquee programs, what, 2 years removed from a title, has kind of slipped underneath the radar. For Brian Kelly, first time I met him, okay, and first time I've actually even talked to Brian Kelly, was in the SEC spring meetings just a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't know what to expect, and I probably didn't know who the hell I am, and so went out there and introduced myself, and we had him on for kind of a more of an extended podcast interview for our SiriusXM show, and I came away thinking that he conducts himself like a CEO, and the last person I can remember that conducted himself like that was Nick Saban, right? That this is the way we do it. This is the expectation. When you walk in a room, you know that there's a certain level, a stature, a person. Brian Kelly has that. That's not to demean what Ed Orgeron brought. He brought a title. Les Miles brought a title, right? But I think what there is now is a lot more efficiency. And just because things have been done one way for the longest time doesn't mean it's always going to be done that way. And I think that's what a good CEO does. And listen, I would tell you that it's an absolute no-brainer for him to, you know, crush it in the SEC. But you're talking about the toughest division in all of college football that's only going to get better. Like, who's not going to be great going forward, right? A&M had their huge recruiting class. Say what you want to say, those recruits are still showing up, and they've had success. Nick Saban ain't going anywhere anytime soon. Georgia's not going to go anywhere anytime soon. Look at what Lane Kiffin has done, right? Lane Kiffin's got that program. They go 10-2. Mike Leach. I mean, right now, I would love for somebody to give us a call or hit us up on Twitter, at Peter Burns and ESPN, at Peter Burns ESPN. Who's the worst team in the SEC West next year? I can't figure it out. I assume Alabama's going to be the best team when you got Bryce Young coming back. You got Will Anderson. But is it Auburn? Is it Arkansas? I mean, is it Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU? I don't know. And I think that parity is fantastic right now. But, again, he's got his work cut out for him. And I think that's another reason why that opener against Florida State on September the 4th in the Superdome, where LSU fans expect to win, is a monster win for him. That was a Freudian slip. I already said it was going to be a monster win. But it's SEC versus ACC.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.